Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Wednesday, Microsoft Build 2018. Everybody having a good time? Yeah? This is the part where I walk to the front of the stage and then I can't see anybody because of the lights. So you are there, yes? Wave, yes? You're there? Awesome. So you're here to hear what's new in Xamarin Forms 3.0, yeah? Been a long time coming. I'm really excited to bring it to you, very excited to share with you not only what's in that, but also celebrate some of the things that have been happening. And then at the end of the session, I'll share a little bit of the roadmap and where we're looking for the future, okay? Sound good? I am David Ortnow. I am the Senior Program Manager for Xamarin Forms. And I have been with Xamarin and Microsoft for just a little over a year now, and it has been an awesome ride. I've met many of you, and so that means that the rest of you need to reach out to me. You need to tweet at me, you need to email me, because I absolutely want to hear what you're doing. What are you building with Xamarin Forms? What do you need to build with Xamarin Forms? What do you want it to be doing for you? So that I can understand better those things, bring that intel back into the team. And also, what do you need to know? What am I not sharing that I can help share with you so that you can make the decisions you need to make? So before we dive into all the 3.0 features, I want to do a quick recap of all the awesome stuff we did in 2017. Is that all right? It was a good year. It was a really good year, and I think it's worth remembering some of these things. So we released our first public roadmap. Has anybody seen the roadmap? It's up on GitHub, okay? So you can hit that AKAMS link. That'll take you to our GitHub page where we now host the public roadmap. And you can get an indication of not only the features that we are working on, the features that we're planning to work on, and then anything that gets cut, we'll show you if we cut it, as well as when we expect to ship things. So over the course of the year, we were saying, okay, well, this part of the year, we'll start shipping these things, this quarter, somewhere in these quarters. Now we're getting a little bit closer to when we actually expect to ship things. So this is a big priority for us to be more transparent and to create more visibility for you into what we're doing. And I hope you like that. So in that same vein, we've moved a lot of our work to GitHub. Obviously, the code has been there. Pull requests have been there. Now issues and projects are also hosted on GitHub. So for issues, you know, all your bug filing should be going there, as well as enhancement requests. This is also where we are now discussing new features. So when we have a proposal, a spec internally that we want to share with you and get some dialogue on, that's where it's going. But you can also be filing your enhancement request there as well. And we provide lots of guidance for that. So again, lots of transparency, lots of setting expectations, and hopefully that's very well received. I think it is. The feedback so far has been very positive when we announced on Twitter, because that's where most announcements happen. Outside of Build, right? It's all on Twitter. That was very well received. So 33 releases last year. That's quite a few. 16 of them were pre-releases, 17 stable releases. So that's a lot of releases, and I think that that's awesome. However, what I heard from you and we've been hearing from you is that's great, but we want to know when, and we want it to be a predictable cadence. Would you agree? Yeah. I mean, I kind of primed you for that, so you're primed to agree. But so what we're now working towards is a six-week cadence. So this week, we shipped 3.0. Has anybody downloaded file new 3.0 project? You've been busy. You've been in Build, right? But some of you have. So hi, Frank. Some of you have, which is awesome. And so 6 weeks from today, not today-ish, right? Because this is all etched in jello. All kinds of things could happen between now and then. And so even on our roadmap, we try to indicate, hey, this is our best guess at how things are going to happen, but we're not in full control of everything. So bear with us. But 6 weeks from today, you can be expecting the next release. And I'll talk to you a little bit about what's going to be in that release. So a couple highlights of features from last year, Native Forms. So Native Forms allows you to take Forms content pages and embed them directly into a Xamarin iOS, Xamarin Android, UWP, or any other backend that has an understanding of Xamarin Forms. Okay? So what this means for you is that if you don't need the full weight of Xamarin Forms, you just need that simplicity of a UI that Xamarin Forms does really well for you, and you want to bring that into that application, you can do that here. So what you're looking at on the screen is the maintenance app from the Smart Hotel 360 reference app. We showed this off at Connect last year. It's up on GitHub. And so this is a Xamarin iOS app. On the left side, it's a list. It's a UI table view controller. And when you tap one of those rows, it's going to call to a content page and say, give me the content page. And then it uses a little helper method, dot create view controller. And it pushes that onto the iOS stack. So this is a way for you to embed XAML and Xamarin Forms into your iOS, Android, UWP native applications. Pretty cool. Who's using this? I know several people have been using it. I'm seeing some hands. Pretty awesome. So taking that a step further, because we wanted to blow some minds, we combine native forms with .NET embedding. So what this is allowing you to do is take your .NET code and compile it as a native Objective-C iOS framework target, right? And you bring that framework into your Objective-C application, and then you can utilize it just like you would do anywhere else. So what you're seeing on the screen here is Objective-C. This is the Kickstarter open source application on GitHub, and we are bringing a .NET embedded page into it. What you see right here on the screen is a little helper that we're doing, and all that helper is doing behind the scenes is newing up that content page, calling create view controller, and adding it to the native iOS stack right within Objective-C. This works with Objective-C, Swift, Java, pretty amazing. You can use your Xamarin and Xamarin Forms pretty much anywhere. Cool. All right, some other stuff we did last year, performance. So we hear a lot about, hey, when's it going to get faster? When's my startup going to get faster? When's my runtime going to get faster? And a lot of times, that's primarily focused on one platform. Can you name that platform? Android, that's right. So it's well known. .NET Standard 2.0 actually brings some pretty nice performance benefits. Mostly, I've been seeing that within the project systems. Your compile times, your project unfold times are getting faster. But those are things that you're doing on a regular basis. And so it's nice to see those things improving as well. Compile bindings we released last year. Fast renderers, so label, button, and image are the three controls that are used most often in a list view. And so we've made fast renderers for those. For those of you who may not be familiar with a fast renderer, when you enable that in your initialization of Xamarin Forms, it provides you a renderer that has been refactored to remove the wrapping class that provides a lot of the convenience that we initially designed into it. By doing so, you are removing one layer of view from your stack, which makes everything faster, because nested UI is slower UI. Flatter UI is faster. Layout compression is the same focus along those lines. If you have a layout that is simply there to be able to put something in place, but you're not controlling it, you're not changing background colors on it, there's no images in the background of it, then you can mark that as headless. You don't need that to be rendered into your view, and we'll remove it for you. That will then flatten your UI, which can in turn make it more performant. You need to use that feature judiciously, because if you use it in the wrong place, you may actually see a negative impact, but used in the right way, it's pretty amazing. Startup optimizations, a lot of these are micro optimizations, milliseconds here, milliseconds there, cleaning up code paths. So as a big feature, there's nothing really to call out, but we did quite a bit of work diving deep into there. And we even investigated some things in terms of where we're doing reflection for assembly scanning to see what we could optimize there. XAML-C has received a lot of attention as well. In general, it has gotten faster. Recently, we've done work to make sure that build times with XAML-C got faster. So in the reference app of the Smart Hotel 360 that I mentioned earlier, the full version of it, we were able to get the XAML-C build times from 8 seconds down to 1 second. 8 seconds to 1 second. Yeah. So that's using, I believe it was the .NET Standard 2.0 profile. So hey, encouragement to use the latest and greatest stuff, right? All right. Community contributions, I want to celebrate that. So if you are a community contributor to Xamarin Forms, would you please take a step up? Would you stand on your feet so that we could recognize you real quick? Nobody's gonna do it. Come on, Frank. Frank's a contributor. You've PR'd something. All right, let's give these people a round of applause. We're actually being live streamed now as well, so a bigger round of applause for all the people watching. Yeah. So, you know, the maintainers of the project were always like, hey, why don't you send a PR? Hey, why don't you send a PR? Why don't you send a PR? And it can seem like, oh, they're just lazy. They just want us to do the work for them. Here's the deal. Xamarin Forums is awesome and it's amazing, but really, we need everybody to contribute. And so we get to celebrate the wisdom of the entire group and the knowledge and the power of the entire group. So it's awesome. So anytime that you, and you may think, hey, I'm not, I did a survey actually recently where I asked people, what have you written custom in the past that Xamarin Forms didn't do for you? And then I asked the question, have you sent a pull request for that work? And then when they said no, because almost all of them said no, I asked why? What can we do to help you feel more comfortable sending pull requests? And like the number one thing, well, there was probably two top things. The number one was I was too busy, right? You know, I did this for work and then I was done. And then by the time I thought about it, I'd moved on. But the second thing was I could only do the iOS or I could only do the Android and I didn't know how to do XYZ. Well, here's the thing, come up to the GitHub. Come up to the issues and the enhancements board that I'll show you later. And you will find that there are people you can collaborate with and broaden that thing, and somebody will supply the missing pieces. We'll get that pull request in, and it'll make the whole platform better. Sound good? Yeah. Community, community, community. Last year, we had 133 contributors, so that's amazing. Some of the major contributions, GDK Sharp is now a backend, so you can hit Raspberry Pis, Linux platforms. macOS is now in. Major contribution. WPF, you may have heard, is now in as well. So these are all in different states. So I want to call your attention to the GitHub, which I'll show you in a little bit, for where you can find more information about that. So here's something interesting that Dan Siegel, one of the Prism maintainers, has done with Xamarin Forms. He has an extension for Prism that creates this app up on App Center. So if you want to take a look at this today, you could hit their alpha channel, the alpha channel for the extensions. And you can see Xamarin Forms being used in Visual Studio extensions. And it's not just on the Mac, as you see here. Javier Ruiz is doing this with his extension, which analyzes the code of your application to tell you how much of your code is being used in the shared part in your XAML and in your Xamarin Forms code, and how much is being written in the platform specifics area of your application. All this UI, those graphs and everything, all is Xamarin Forms UI used to build an extension for Visual Studio on Windows as well as Visual Studio for Mac. I think that's really inspirational. I think that's pretty amazing. And I asked them, I asked Javier in particular, what was it that we did? What was it that we released that made this suddenly possible? Now I'm seeing more and more people do this. MFractor, anybody using MFractor for your XAML power tools basically? Yeah, quite a few hands. So Matthew is also doing some of this with his extensions. And it was the native forms embedding, being able to do that. So I'm really excited to see that stuff taking off. If you want more information about these backends, check out the wiki. I have a platform support page. You'll see that some of them are early preview, some of them are more stable. In terms of core team, Microsoft team, our focus is iOS, Android, UWP. And that's where we're gonna spend the majority of our time. But these contributions are coming in hot and heavy from the community, and you guys are picking this thing up and running with it. So we'll do our best to support you in these areas. But if you want to know more about this, hit those report links. They'll give you actually a nitty-gritty, hey, this control is implemented, this property is implemented, this property is not implemented, and here's why we didn't implement it. Here's where you can contribute to flesh out the rest of these backends. So lots of good information there. And then on the inspirational note, I wanted to call attention to, I've already mentioned Frank's name twice, that's three times. What's the deal? It's dark, I can barely even see you. He has put together UI. Who's played with UI? This is pretty amazing, yeah. So this is using two ways of doing it. I'm gonna try my best to represent this. ASP.NET Core server on one side, and then WebAssembly on the other side. One uses WebSockets, one's doing local communication in the browser, but this is Xamarin Forms. This is a Xamarin Forms sample app that is now running in the web with actually, and I inspected the HTML. I'm 20 plus years web developer in my background. It's good looking HTML. It's not nasty, gnarly stuff. So good job, man. Good job, Frank. Yeah. So when I see stuff like this, and when you share with me your projects and what you're doing with Xamarin Forms, I am in awe. I really am. It's so inspirational. I want to be part of a platform that is doing things that kind of make people scratch their head and go, wow, I didn't know that was possible, or I didn't think it could be done. But it's being done, and this looks pretty hot. So this probably won't be something you use in all of your applications. It may not be something you're going to go back to your boss and be like, we should do this. And it's certainly early bits, right? I mean, this is you know, exploratory stuff. But hopefully it kind of indicates to you the vibrancy of this platform and what people are doing. All right, so a quick note on XAML and XAML standard. So here's the latest news, okay? So XAML standards, some of you may not be aware of what this is. This is where we're looking at the common dialect of XAML between Windows Desktop XAML and Xamarin Forms XAML, right? Again, Xamarin Forms, although I've just showed you several areas where the community is taking it to the desktop, is primarily a mobile platform. And so we have our own use cases. So where you see this overlap is where we want to try to align as best we can these dialects. So from talking to customers and from talking to everybody under the sun, we have determined that this is what is best for us to do. And so we're glad to announce the release of Visual State Manager, which is available now in Xamarin Forms 3.0. We are working towards the standardization of the tags. And so I have seen early bits for this, and we'll be releasing that shortly along the time frame of 3.1, which is really the period of the next 6 weeks. So be watching for news from me on that. We'll release that out to you, and you can start to experience what it's like to align your tags. Don't have to, you know, mentally worry about, am I doing a stack layout or a stack panel, that kind of thing, right? And then we're working on XBind. That work has begun, and we'll be shipping that later this year. I saw a question on Twitter, and it's probably somebody in this room, who asked, okay, well, what does that mean? Are you guys going to bind to what we already have for XBind? Are you wrapping it? What are you doing? We are going to, my understanding is, be writing it ourselves. Open source versus closed source, and those sorts of things are decisions that have to be taken into account. So very excited to be bringing that to you. Who's looking forward to some XBind? Yeah. I clearly like a lot of feedback, so I appreciate you. Your arm's going to get tired by the end of this thing. You're going to have to go down to the Cloud Developer Advocate area and get your massage, right? Who's done the massage? Anybody? Nobody? A couple people. Right on. All right. So with that out of the way, let's get into Xamarin Forms 3.0. Some really amazing things going on here. So in preparation for this, I wanted to dog food the snot out of this thing, right? I wanted to make sure I fully understood what it was really good for, what these features were good for, and how I could best explain it to you. So if you've been to our booth, you've seen this setup. We've got these screens, we've got these machines set up, and we've got kind of a hands-on lab. I had grandiose plans for it to be this really great hands-on experience. And in reality, man, y'all are so busy here at Build. You know, you're moving from session to session, you're like grabbing your swag, you gotta make sure you get that t-shirt before your size is gone. You know, these are really important Build topics, right? So even a 5-minute hands-on lab was probably a little ambitious. But I've made this app available to you, and I want you to download this app, I want you to play with this app. It uses Flex Layout, it uses Visual State Manager, it uses some CSS. The feedback we're hearing at the booth when people come up and talk to us, they'll say, okay, what's new? We tell them about Flex Layout, we tell them about CSS. The feedback has been really, really overwhelmingly positive. I mean, certainly there are some concern from certain groups about, oh, is CSS, what does that mean for me? I don't really think I'm gonna use it. But I've been really interested to hear how much positive feedback there has been. So with this, I'm gonna switch over to my phone, and I wanna show you this app running. So I'm gonna switch over to 8 real quick, give you an orientation. Okay, I need to unlock with my face. All right, so here we got the app, right? Beautiful app, I'm scrolling up underneath my navigation bar. You're like, what, how do you do that? Download the app, look at the code, you'll totally see how I did that. Got some sweet animations in here, got some overlays. I can navigate to my monkey, look at the details. There's some vision AI stuff going on in here. I've got a round of achievements because I thought it would be cool to gamify this thing. So when you take photos of stuff, Jim Bennett, who's sitting here in the second row, one of our cloud developer advocates, very kindly contributed some vision work to this. So there's actually two vision pieces. There's custom vision, which on device is analyzing the photo and saying, okay, I see this, here's the tag for it. And then it has the API portion. So we send that up to the API and get back some OCR scanning as well as the tags from the vision class. So can we give him a round of applause for contributing that? That's pretty awesome. Thank you very much. Because I totally was not gonna get to it. So what I wanna do here real quick, if you don't mind, I'm gonna take a picture of you. So I'm gonna come to the front a little bit. I want you all to kind of give me some waves. Come on, this is mostly the front though, so I need to go, come on, super enthusiastic, and shout too, nobody can hear you. Ah, what up? All right, so I took a photo, right, shows up down here, and did you notice, I'll show you this later actually, as I rotate, look at where my button is, I'm repositioning things based on orientation, that's Visual State Manager, I'll show you that in a second. All right, so now I've got this, and it's like, oh, bummer, no achievements, right? Nothing, all right, so I hit that, it says, okay, no achievements, no way. So I'm like, all right, I'll help you train that. So I've actually got all the tags in here, And this was done by Shane, one of our engineers on the forums team. Pureween is his handle online. So everybody wave to Shane at the cameras. Hi, Shane. Thanks, Shane. So this is pretty awesome, right? So I can say, okay, well, this is a Xamarin thing because we are doing a Xamarin thing. I submit that tag. That's now uploading that to the Custom Vision API, and that's going to be in the queue. Pretty cool, right? You didn't do this part. We did this part. It's pretty cool. So that's now up in my training set. So if you haven't explored the Vision API stuff, the Custom Vision stuff, this is really cool stuff. So we have training sets of images. That's now been added. So the next time I go into the web portal, ooh, I shouldn't touch that. Next time I go into the web portal, I'll see that image, and I can verify that the tag is accurate, add it to my training set, update my Core ML, update my TensorFlow, update my buzzword bingo, and download that to my phone, recompile, and I've got a whole new set of awesome intelligence in my app. Sweet? Yeah, that's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah. All right, so what else do I want to show you in here? Oh, I've got a barcode or a QR code scanner, so I'm doing some modal stuff. Something to note about a lot of these icons that I'm using in here, I'm actually using the Fabric font, and I'm using an icon, you know, basically using an icon font to be able to do all this stuff. So save you a ton of time in iconography and building out UI. All right, so that's the app. Totally talking really fast. Let's jump back over to my machine. Or actually, no, we're going to jump back to slides. We're doing slides. So let's talk a little bit about this. Well, first of all, get out your phones. Take a picture of that QR code. Does everybody know how to do QR codes? That's the fun thing. iPhones do it just like open the camera and just point it. It's really cool. That'll take you to a web page that our awesome marketing team and David Sanchez put together. And you can go straight to App Center. So that's another awesome integration that we did here. You can take a look at how we did that. This is using App Center. It's using Xamarin Essentials, which is a preview for some awesome cross-platform APIs that Mr. Montemagno and his team put together. What's up, James? Love that stuff. It's using tons of other plugins. It's using Alois's Markdown viewer. Anybody using Markdown? Yeah, so you can see how this stuff happens. So this is not just a bare bones, oh, it's another sample from another Xamarin thing. This is like, if I were building this, I just went and grabbed plugins and code from different places and code from samples like you do, right? Right? You use search engines, one that I won't name, to go find code. Isn't that what you do? You're like, no, I totally don't do that. My boss is watching. All right, so check that out. So here are the main features that I want to talk about. We have a visual state manager. We have right-to-left support, flex layout, and CSS. I want to give honorable mention to some of the resource dictionary work that has been done, as well as I want to talk a little bit about the F100 later on. So you may have heard that label thrown around, F100. What does that mean? That's our Xamarin Forms 100 little paper cuts that drive me nuts. Why do I have to write platform code to do X, Y, Z? Have you ever said that? It's like, why do I have to go down to iOS and do that? Why do I have to go down to Android and add that padding or whatnot? So we have an initiative with the community, our engineers, and engineers across the Xamarin organization are working on this as well to help remove a lot of those small paper cuts. Let's solve those things. Let's make everything easier and make you more productive. Who wants to be productive? We all want to be productive. Yes. I will say that I was super surprised. I was not surprised. I was super pleased with how productive I was building the app that I built. I was able to crush it. Of course, I'm saying that. You're supposed to tell me I crushed it, but that's fine. All right, so Visual State Manager, and then, so resource dictionary improvements. Take a look at a blog post that I did several weeks back where I show you how merged dictionaries and just the general syntax of loading from external XAML files with resource dictionaries in them. You don't even have to have code behind classes. You can just mark them as compile using an XML tag. Very cool stuff. Reduces a lot of that boilerplate stuff that you normally have to write. But let's focus on these, cool? So first we'll talk about Visual State Manager. You get a couple of things for free with the visual element. There are these common states, normal, focused, disabled. And then you just access the Visual State Manager. Internally, Visual Element is doing this for you. So my example on the side is an entry, right? Inside my entry, I declare my visual state groups. And then I say, okay, when it's normal, I want you to look like this. When it's focused, I want you to look like this. When it is disabled, look like this. And so in this case, we're changing fonts and background colors using setters and things like that. So visual states, for those who may not be familiar with them, are really a nice way for you to declaratively say when my control or when my page or when my anything is in this state, look like this, use these attributes and do that. And then you use the visual state manager itself to kind of choreograph it, right? In this case, the visual element is doing that for us. These are common states. It's a convention. It knows these things. So how did I do that with the orientation change? So as you saw before, I rotate and everything kind of shifts position. So what I'm doing is I'm actually putting this into a style, so slightly different. And I am showing all XAML examples, but I want to make sure I mention that this is also easily done in C#. Okay? So what I'm doing is I declare my style, and I have a target of the flex layout. And then I declare my groups, and I've got orientation states. So I'm not using common states, although if you declare common states, it totally works too. It's just kind of overriding that space. But I wanted to be explicit about what states I'm dealing with. So I declare my portrait and landscape states, and then I simply tell it what to do. In this case, because I'm using a flex layout, I don't have to do too much. All I really have to do is tell it to use a different direction. So that's actually a lot of XAML for just one property change, but it illustrates in a very simple way how you do these things using a visual state manager. And then behind the scenes, I have this block of code. I override the on size allocated. I measure my screen, and I say, okay, are you portrait, are you landscape? And then deal with it accordingly. I use the visual state manager go-to state. I point it at my container. I'm also doing something similar with that last image, that image that appears in the corner, so that it doesn't, you know, look portrait or landscape in the wrong state. And that's it. Easy peasy. Pretty cool, right? Yeah. Right to left support. This is something that we've been asked for a very long time, and I'm extremely happy to be able to deliver this. The team worked hard on this because it requires going down into all those layouts and all those controls and making sure that they respect these changes. So there's a lot of work that went on underneath the hood to make this happen. You previously could have done this using effects because effects are a simple way for you to get at that platform code. But we felt this is one of those paper cuts, and actually it was a pretty deep paper cut because of all the labor on your part to do this. So very simply, on the left, you've got the to-do that it's left to right. On the right, it is right to left. I think that's a pretty self-explanatory one, isn't it? And you want to know how hard it is to implement that? Get ready. It's that one line. You put that one line in your content page header of your XAML file, and it is going to use a helper class called device, and it is going to retrieve the flow direction based on your region and your language settings on that device. Simple as that, everything on the page is going to inherit that right-to-left or left-to-right orientation. Now, what if you want to override something at a smaller level of layout or control within that layout? You absolutely have a flow direction on all of those elements to do that. So you have full control of that. Simple as that, pretty cool. Yeah. All right, flex layout and CSS. I'm combining these together because they really come from a similar place and they work really well together. So what is flex layout? This is a new layout that we're introducing. It's inspired by the web's flexbox. It is really good at prioritizing distribution and alignment of the child elements. And we'll show some examples of that in just a second. And it's really good for adaptive layouts. So when you need to deal with multiple screen sizes and things of that nature, again, it comes from the web. Browsers could be many different sizes, and the content needs to adapt to that. Flex layout is a really good candidate for that. And one of my favorite features of the flex layout, because I am all about the performance, is it promotes a flatter UI, less UI nesting, right? As I mentioned before, if you have a deep nested UI, it has to measure, layout. And Jason will probably critique me. I probably went the wrong direction with that. But you know, that's a lot of measuring and a lot of laying out. We want to avoid that. So with flex layout, if you use these properties and controls I'll show you, you can achieve a very flat layout, which is going to lay out and render the first time faster. It's also going to animate better. So that's really cool. And along with that comes style sheets. So these are cascading style sheets, CSS. A couple of things to note about style sheets. This is valid CSS with one minor exception currently. When you want to declare a content page or whatever the inheriting base type is, we use a caret symbol, which is not valid CSS, but we do understand it. Otherwise, you don't use that, all of your CSS is completely valid. You can copy it from the web. You go find yourself some Flexbox examples. You copy that code, you drop it in here, you assign it to your XAML elements, and it actually will work. So it's pretty awesome there. But it is parsed at runtime. This does not replace XAML styles. So this is a parser on top of the existing styles API. So you don't, you choose what works best for you, and you run with that. What makes you more productive? It supports many properties, but it doesn't support all of them. So that's something that we'll be improving upon in the future. We want to hear your feedback on this. As I mentioned, I'm gathering lots of feedback at the booth. But as you're using this, as you're exploring it, one of our documentation guys recently said to me, you know, when I saw the CSS thing, I really hated it. But he had to work with it because he had to write the documentation. And he goes, I actually think it's pretty cool. So give it a shot. I'm hearing that people like that separation of styling and layout, so you may also like it. I think many of you will. Styles are applied one by one in definition order. This is cascading style sheets, and they're defined on the item itself. So let's get into some code real quick. I am running short. I am going to crush this. Woo-hoo. Of course, my machine went to sleep. Here we go. Finger. All right. So here, first of all, to reference my style sheet, I do this at the top. So in my resources, I have a style sheet. I pass it the source. In this case, it's a relative path to my CSS file, which is what you see over here on this side, right? And this is a simple CSS file. I'm just referencing a class for a container, a class for an item. And the item are the things that appear. So you see it's all kind of squished and squiggly on the right-hand side. That's my previewer telling me, hey, things aren't looking so good. I don't know what to do. So let's fix that up with some Flex layout. So first of all, I'm going to set a direction. And I'm going to say I'm going to use the row. And actually, I have a lot of elements in there, so I want them to wrap. As soon as I do that, now everything is laying out properly because it finally knows how to size everything. And so I can, from here, start to do some interesting things with how do I want to justify. Well, I can center it, so that will take everything, group it together, put it right in the middle of my screen. If I want it to all be aligned to the right-hand side, I can use end. That pushes it all the way over. Same thing for start, obviously. And then I have a couple of other properties in here. Space around, space between, space evenly. These are some pretty nice ways to control that as well. So space evenly. All right. So now what I can do is I say, OK, that's working out well. But I'm a CSS person. I really wish I had just used CSS. So to use CSS and apply this, all I have to do is add that class here. So I have that class I just showed you a second ago, container. Boom, there it is. And then over here, I can also do the same kind of thing. So I'm using space around. I can do space between. I can do, yeah, there we go. I like to have it all spread out, butted up against the margins on the outside. So that is a real quick look at how you can use Flex layout and CSS. Something I will point to next, because there are a lot of different layouts that work out really well with this. Take a look at my GitHub. I have a project up there called Flexibility. And this is, I don't know, what, 5, 6 different layouts that I took and also used some stuff that Stefan on our engineering team did and included that here to give you some representative samples of how you might use Flex layout in your projects. And as you can see, there's some pretty cool stuff, like that movie one in the middle. That's all Flex layout, making all that happen. So it's pretty cool. You'll start to get into some of the Flex basis, shrink, and grow properties, which is way too much for us to dive deep into today. So with that, that's a lot of really cool Xamarin Forms 3.0 stuff. I would like to call Sam Basu up on stage from Progress. We are so happy that our partners are working with us to make sure that their controls are looking really good and taking advantage of all this stuff. So with that, Sam's going to show you what they've been up to. Come on.
All right, audio good? Oh, okay, so hey everyone, good afternoon. I'm Sam Basu, one of the developer advocates at Progress. Most of you guys likely know us as the makers of Telerik and Kendo UI controls and frameworks for all of your apps. I'm here today to kind of showcase that all of these wonderful improvements that you're seeing in Xamarin Forms 3.0, they don't just work with stuff that's out of the box, they also work with complex and custom UI, right? So David is a friend, but if I go longer than 5 minutes, he's likely going to kick me out. So let me try to keep this short and sweet, and I'm going to switch to my machine here. All right, there we go. So to kind of streamline this, I have a super simple setup. This is just one Xamarin Forms solution, and this is just a .NET standard library. Please use that going forward. Now, I just have an iOS project, nothing else, no custom or platform-specific things in there. So let's start. So first thing is my main page XAML, which is my first page of my app. You'll notice that I'm doing some fancy code. I am just literally newing up 5 strings. No MVVM design patterns or frameworks here. And I want to bind that collection to a list view. So let's go take a look at my XAML page here. Here is a telluric list view. Do you have to use it? No, but you're missing out on some of the engineering that we put into these list views and all of our controls. Things like UI virtualization, layouts, and sorting, filtering, all of the good stuff. You're not going to see any of that because this is a super simple demo. But essentially what I'm doing here is binding that collection that's back in my XAML CS. I'm just binding it to my list view as an item source. And I want to put in a stack layout in my item template. This is what controls like how each of the rows of my list view look like. And I just have a label that's bound to the name. And I have a Xamarin Forms button. And I have a telluric button, which lets you kind of round things up with background colors and radius and so on. So let's go ahead and run this thing. And it's going to fire up in my iOS simulator if it's still awake. There you go. So first thing is, we have a list view. It's binding to my list of strings, which is good. So let's stop that, and let's add a little more flair to this. So the first thing I'm going to put back here is what I had on my clipboard. That's a style class. So what I'm pulling in is what's called a theme. So a theme is essentially just a collection of XAML styles. So you have a uniform way of styling all of your UI across your app. And this thing is coming in just as a NuGet package as you bring in the telluric bits. And it is a collection of lots of different styles. And I want to customize a little bit. So for my list view, it's a blue theme, but I want to bring in some orange and some green. So that's why I'm just customizing things here. So let's go back to my XAML, and let's open up one more thing here. See this guy? Style sheet. It's a resource that we are pulling in. And let's see. I deleted that. There you go. So while this is firing up CSS, guys, I can understand the hesitation, but give it up, because this is here to stay, and it's wonderful. You don't have to use it if you don't like it, but it gives you a lot of flexibility. Most Xamarin developers do come from an ASP.NET background, so it's nice to kind of reuse your skills. If you see where things are going with WebAssembly, and Frank, thanks for Uwe Wasm, if you have a web app and a mobile app, you can start sharing some styles between the two, so this is wonderful. So I have a simple CSS that's just sitting here in my project. Let's go look at that. One thing with CSS, though, sass and less, preprocessing, that works. The tooling is catching up, but it works. So this is the one caret symbol that David was mentioning. That's the one thing that your linters might complain. Otherwise, it's just properties and selectors. So I'm grabbing my content page, setting it a light green, and all of the things that you expect with CSS, like named styles, grabbing the X name from a visual tree. This is like a parent-child relationship. And this is like a trickle-down effect. So I want all of my buttons inside of my stack layout to have that look and feel. So that's all good. Now let's look at this last piece here. We are grabbing a telluric list view, and we are styling it with CSS. And all we are saying is direction right to left. The same thing that David showed you with flow direction, CSS to support right to left. And this lets you support localization. And I mean, as such, I would like to say empathy actually makes a lot of business sense. When you put love and care in your apps and when you localize things, it's just a better user experience and you drive up engagement. So let's go ahead and fire this up one more time. And we'll wait for it to deploy. And there you have it. So same list view, just styled a little differently with CSS, and things are right to left. Now, I'm hard-coding my strings. Please don't do that. Pick it up from a resource file, and you should be golden to support localization. And right here, if you notice that this button here, it's round. And if I tap on this, see that green border that comes up? That's a little VSM. So let's go back here to my XAML. You'll notice that it's defined as a style resource, and there is a visual groups here. Notice how XAML informs gives you like three states by default. You can add your custom states. Like this one here is just looking at the pressed state for that button. And all I have to do is kind of inherit off like our button, add that to my binding property, and whenever that event fires, we're essentially going to ask the visual state manager to kind of force it to go to that pressed state. So pretty easy to hook these things up. Now, let's talk about one more thing here. Let's go in here. We're going to stop this. Oh, and actually, before I go off the iOS simulator, let me show you one other thing. If I go back here, you notice all of my text here is in German because I have flipped the language settings. So if I come back here to any other app which is using some of our controls, like this is a little list view, or I'm sorry, a grid, and all of the text comes from you and your app and your data. But anything that we throw in, like a piece of text, you can kind of localize that with a simple resource file, and we'll help you out, and then you get to make up your own resource files. So support localization if you can. It's a really nice experience. So let's stop that, and there's one more thing I want to show you, and I'm going to come down here in my app XAML. And I'm going to switch out the main page so we use something different. And that's for the Mac. See that little head? That's for the Mac. So let me switch that up as a startup project, and we're going to fire this up. So what I'm showing you here is Xamarin Forms supporting all of these new platforms, which is awesome because now your code can just support so many different platforms, and the same code just takes you places. So that's a telluric gauge. More and more things are working on these other platforms. We actually have things working with UI Wasm as well for WebAssembly. So again, I'm obviously biased, but the point is we are going to keep helping you guys with sharp UI and sharp tools. I think this is one of the best times to be a Xamarin Forms developer because it just takes you so many places. And thanks for all the work that the community and the Xamarin team is doing up. And the story is going to keep getting better. So with that, I'm going to pass it back to David here. You are number 7, sir. Thank you.
Good job, man. Good job. That's awesome. All right. So lots of cool stuff for you today. Learn more with our docs. Our docs team has done a lot of work there. I need to switch over, don't I? I need to switch over to that one. Here we go. All right. Lots of really good new documentation is up there and available for you. The XAMU team has put together a series of lightning lectures that cover each one of these features that I highlighted. In 10 to 15 minutes or less, you can learn everything you would ever need to know to get started with those things. So that's really cool. All right, I have 3 minutes to tell you all about the future. I am not that good of a future teller, but we're going to do our best. So I want to recommend that you go check out this enhancements board, which is one of our projects up there. Look specifically for those F100 tasks or labels. And that will give you an indication of those paper cuts that I mentioned that we're working towards. If you don't see the things that are causing you frustration and pain, please add a spec and or let me know. Ask any questions you can. We want to make sure that we make Xamarin Forms the best experience possible to make you productive in what you're doing. In terms of roadmap, I have updated the roadmap. It's on the GitHub, as I mentioned before. Please take a look at that. I'm giving you an indication of everything that's coming up that we're planning on. If you don't see your favorite feature there, let me know. Some of the really cool stuff, things that are in 3.1 pre-1 available today, so you don't just get 3.0 stable, you get 3.1 pre. Isn't that cool? Right on. So a lot of great community work is represented here in these F100s, the bindable span, the list view selection mode. Drop shadows is in there. Who all wants drop shadows on everything? I did. I actually, when I was building the app, I was like, I really wish I could use 3.1 because it gets 3.0 and all the cool, cool stuff. So very, very nice things in there, hiding scroll view, et cetera. VNext 2, I'm not telling you what version number it is. It might be 3.2. It might be 3.4. It would be 3.2 or 3.1 something. It'd probably be 3.2. But I just don't want to set a false expectation on version numbers. It will have rounded corners, rounded image, and button padding. If I can have anything to say about those things getting completed, they will be in there because I absolutely would use those myself. I know many of you will as well. We also want to work on our accessibility. Focus and tab order will be really important. And then I hear from you all the time, we need better gesture support. We need the gesture support that's in there to be more reliable. We need more gestures to be supported. So we're going to bring that to you as well. And then beyond that, as I mentioned before, XBind is coming later this year. And then life cycle events, the predictable life cycle events that you want to be able to see when your new page comes online, when you're coming back from different events, all that stuff will be predictable. In terms of research, I'll mention real quickly the three things that I'm primarily talking to customers about and I would like very much to hear from you about are the designs that you're needing to build. Do they need to look the same on iOS and Android? Where do they need to diverge? What are the expectations that you're working towards building for your businesses, for your customers? And then performance and productivity are absolutely key areas that we really are always working on, because when you choose Xamarin Forms, you choose it to be productive, you choose it to be performant, and we want to do that for you. So 8 seconds, 7, 6. Was this pretty good? A lot of stuff to play with? Give it a look, download it today, very excited. And with that, update to Xamarin Forms through today, and hey, review the session. Just don't comment on my bad jokes, because they can't all be winners, right? All right, guys. If you want to talk, I will be at the Xamarin booth from now until they let me go. And please come down and see us. Hey, we still have monkeys. If you haven't gotten your monkey, come down and get it. This is the newest one to add to your Mono Monkey collection. So you don't want to miss out on that. All of your friends will be jealous. Your children will want to know why you have monkeys in your office like my children do. All right, thanks for coming, guys.